Good evening, friends. Welcome to Valley Writers Read. Yes, this is the program where all the stories you hear are written by folks from right here in the San Joaquin Valley. And tonight is no exception. Our writer reader is a longtime contributor to our show. She lives in Visalia, and her name is Janet Nichols Lynch. Tonight, she's going to take us into the land of serious bicycle riding and racing. Her story's entitled Racing California. Here she is, Janet Nichols Lynch, Racing California.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
From Racing California. Ouch! I rise out of the saddle to stomp on the pedals and my quads scream in pain. We're slogging up the steep grade toward Saguaro Lake against a wicked headwind in the brisk December sunshine. The 70 or so pro cyclists grunt and mutter expletives in various languages: English, French, Italian, Kazakh, Spanish, and Dutch. Lots of famous teams, Garmin Cervelo, Bissell, SpiderTech, and Jelly Belly, are represented at this winter training here in Phoenix. Me estoy muriendo, I grinned. It's not one of the Spaniards telling me he's dying, but my buddy Jay Stevens. Since we're studying for our AP Spanish final, we made a bet to speak only Spanish during the winter break, and the one who says the first English words loses. We work for Arizona Cycling Tours, the company which is staging this training camp. We're supposed to help guide the pros along the Salt River into plateau country, but I hardly think anyone will get lost with the entourage of motorcycles and cars carrying team managers, trainers, directeurs sportifs, mechanics, soigneurs, medics, and extra wheels and bicycles. I'm amazed we haven't been dropped, but I know it's a matter of fitness. Some of the Europeans are jet-lagged, and many of the riders have laid off the bike since the end of racing season in September. They're here to get in form for the Amgen Tour of California in February, nearly a month before the pro cycling season gets underway in Europe with Paris-Nice. Jay's tongue is hanging nearly to the asphalt. Gasping between words, he whispers, "Dashiell, Shipley, Astarkey." I get spiky tingles on my arms. Dashiell Shipley, Tour de France winner, reigning U.S. Pro road champion, my idol. But Jay has already pointed out cycling stars George Hincapie, Chris Horner, and Dave Zabriskie, and he's been wrong every time. I look all around me, but don't spot the red and gold jersey of Dash's team Cronin. Although Dash is American, he rides for a team sponsored by a Dutch beer. All the pro teams are composed of mixed nationalities. One more shuddering gasp is the last I hear of Jay. Beneath my armpit, I watch him slip through the peloton and off the back. I move up, positioning myself behind the lead rider who's battling the wind. He's wearing a generic blue jersey and plain black shorts rather than a team kit. I've got on my green Equipo Reino Verde jersey, which I got for 50% off on eBay when that team went belly up. The lead rider surges forward, not like he's going to take a flyer, but he just gradually applies more pressure on the pedals. I hang on to his wheel. He slows, I slow. He surges again, pressing a fierce pace. I go with him. After his third push, the rider sits up, shifts around and glares at me. He's got sharp cheekbones, square white teeth, and bronze hair dangling beneath his helmet. It's a chilling moment. I'm staring straight into the face of Dashiell Shipley. He's slightly breathless from bucking the wind, while I'm cozily tucked in the shelter of his slipstream. Cyclists draft like race cars, and the guy in back is only doing about 60% of the work. "Well, go on," Dash yells at me, punching the air with a straight arm. Mas rapido. It's pure adrenaline that snaps my legs into action. I whip around him, bound out of the saddle, and sprint like I'm going for the king of the mountain points. At this searing pace, I could bonk. But what keeps me alive is knowing what Dash doesn't. The summit is less than a half mile away. I hope I can hang on till then. If I don't have the legs, I've got the will. Whoa, am I tripping or what? I'm riding with Dash Shipley. Dash is like chasing me. He catches me easily within 200 yards. He bounds around me, but I stick to his will like crazy glue. I won't let him go. I won't, even though my lungs are going to explode. Focus, determination. Pain is my friend. I keep my eyes peeled on his rear wheel, a scant 3 inches ahead of my front one. Meanwhile, a dozen other riders attack and catch us. The breakaway is tight and intense. I've got no breathing room, and I feel the heat of packed, sweating bodies. I'm trapped, wedged in with some of the best cyclists in the world. Hell, what have I gotten myself into? Do I really know what I'm doing? Handlebars gouge into my hip, causing me to turn my head. Slam! I'm flat on the asphalt, my cheek, shoulder, and left leg on fire. Bodies and bicycles thud over me and around me like heavy duffel bags. There's cursing and scraping metal. Me, the hired help, stacked it. I lie at the bottom of the pile, waiting my turn to get up. The peloton catches us. Riders weave through the fallen guys, sometimes over body parts. Ouch! Such as my fingers. Team motorcycles and cars pull up along the roadside to assist their riders. One rider twists his handlebars back into place. Another guy stands and waits, blood streaming from his elbow as his mechanic makes a wheel change. Someone else is yanking on a stuck chain. I'm having difficulty getting up, my right foot twisted in an awkward position so that I can't kick out my heel to disengage from the pedal. None of the riders are hurt badly enough to abandon. At least no one sailed into the cactus. One by one, the riders mount their bikes and roll out of sight, the entourage of support vehicles following them. Still, I'm sprawled on the pavement. Jay catches up and jumps off his bike. Que lastima! He unfastens the Velcro on my right shoe so I can slide my foot out. I slowly stand and pat myself, inspecting the damage. No broken bones. The shoulder on my cool new Equipo Reina Verde jersey is ripped, and the expensive tights my mom splurged on for Christmas are shredded knee to ankle. ¿Qué pasó? Jay asks. I touched a wheel, I reply in English, in no mood for our little Spanish game, which now sounds stupid. Whoa, Evan, you really beefed it. You okay? Asks Jay, also resorting to English, without mentioning he won the bet. I twist my face away from him. The throbbing burn of road rash hurts less than my pride. Abrasions from bike crashes are usually never deep, just a fine layer of skin scraped off that stings like hell, leaving a wound that weeps blood and water through tiny pinpoints of raw flesh. Hey, man, it happens to the best. Remember when Levi Leiphammer touched wheels with Lance Armstrong in the 09 tour of California? Yeah. Together, Jay and I have pored over the video and numerous other racing clips posted on YouTube. He ate asphalt and went on to win the TOC for the third time in a row. Just call me Levi. We have a shaky laugh, and then I add, dude, know whose wheel I touched? Dash's. Told you he was here, bro. Looks like you found him the hard way. I was right out in front, man, with Dash Shipley. He must have laid off the bike a long time. I know, but still. I try to brush some of the gravel out of my leg wounds, but it doesn't help. I'll have to fix up at lunch break when we return to the hotel in Tempe. Like all serious riders, I shave my legs so the cleanup won't be bad. Standing in the road, on the ball of my stocking foot, I bend over to wrench my shoe out of the pedal. It's then I notice a plain black Mercedes, no team name or sponsor logos plastered over it, parked on the side of the road. A man in the driver's seat with a closely cropped gray beard is talking on a BlackBerry, and another guy with a slick black ponytail and Euro shades is in the back seat, writing on a clipboard. The driver is staring right at us. "Who are they?" I mutter. "We could go over and find out." "No, what if that one guy is talking to Ben, complaining that an employee is riding recklessly, causing crashes?" We better roll. I wiggle my fingers, sore but not broken, and slip on my shoe. I pick up my bike, spin both wheels, check the brakes and the gears. Everything seems okay, and we're back on the road. When the sleek black car passes us, neither man looks our way. Our boss, Ben Reno, owner and manager of Arizona Cycling Tours, has rented his staff a room at the hotel, even though we're all local, and returned to our homes at night. In the bathroom, I carefully peel away my clothing from the dried blood. Ouch! Sucking air between clenched teeth, I slowly ease into a warm tub to scour my scrapes. After patting myself dry and applying Neosporin, I pull on the same roadie cycling clothes I wore in the morning. I didn't think to bring a change of clothes, but then no one ever plans on stacking it. Jay is waiting for me, seated on the corner of one of the beds, poring over the recent issue of Velo News. I feel better cleaned up, but stiffness is bound to set in later. We go downstairs to the banquet room Ben has reserved for the guests. There's no waiting at the buffet of chicken breasts and pasta, and we load our plates high. Food only tastes this great after 60 or so miles of hard riding. Jay and I slip easily into Spanish as we plan how we will take on our afternoon chores. With the buzz of all the foreign languages in the room, we fit right in. A busboy comes by to clear our plates. He hands me a note with no name on it. I open it, thinking it's instructions from Ben, wondering why he didn't just text me or Jay. The message is written in Spanish. Visitemos en el cuatro, tres, cientos quince. I lean across the table toward Jay, holding up the note so he can read it. "Got any idea who's staying in room 315? I ask in English. "Nope." "You think it's about the crash? Someone wants to beat the hell out of me for knocking him down?" "Nah, if you ride, you go down. It's inevitable." "What's it about, then?" He shrugs. "Glory's dad hired a hitman?" Jay knows the Albrights aren't crazy about lowly me dating their golden girl. "That's not even funny, bro." Who's laughing? Jay has beady eyes, a black unibrow, and a long, horsey face. He's funniest when he's trying to look serious. I stare at the note. Finally, I heave a sigh and push back my chair. "Guess I'll go see." "Wait, give me the note. If no one ever sees you again, I can hand this over to the cops." I shoot him a disgusted look. Jay has seen way too much TV. But then maybe I haven't seen enough. I tap the note on the table a few times, then drop it into his palm. As I'm taking the elevator up to the third floor, my pulse speeds. Am I in trouble? Why was the note in Spanish? Whoever it is, they better hurry up. We're supposed to be back on our bikes in less than an hour. When I knock on the door of room 315, it is opened by Greybeard of the Mercedes. "Hola!" He ushers me into the deluxe suite with a handshake. "Habla inglés?" "Sí." "I mean, yes." "Bueno, good. That makes it easier. I'm Mike Townsend, manager of this outfit." He leads me to Black Ponytail. "This is Rainier Loren, our director sportif." Anyone who follows pro cycling knows the name. He's the director sportif who masterminded Dashiell Shipley's Tour de France win. If he's here, then Dash is certain to be. What in the hell is going on? Townsend waves his hand around. "You probably know some of our guys." Settled deeply into the armchair, his hands clasped behind his head, Dash smiles at me, just the way he smiles into the TV camera when Bob Rule interviews him on Versus. He wears his golden blonde hair longish, swept across his forehead. He's known in cycling as a really nice guy, even though drug use allegations clouded his Tour de France victory. Now I see why he wasn't wearing the Cronin jersey. He's switching teams. "You were tearing up that mountain this morning," he says to me. "For a little while." but then you are known as a climber. And Equipo Reina Verde is kaput, said Mike Townsend. I suppose you're looking for a new team. I realize my mouth is hanging open and I'm blinking rapidly. Have you signed a new contract yet? Blurts Townsend. This is kind of funny. You got me mixed up with... You are Alejandro Mendez, aren't you? Townsend asks, his eyebrows shooting up. I have to laugh. It's easy to see why they've mistaken my identity. I'm short and slight, like the flyweight Spanish climbing specialists. I've got some Hopi Indian on my dad's side and Italian on my mom's. I've been speaking Spanish with Jay all day and wearing a Spanish team's jersey. No, I finally answer. I'm Evan Burrows. I work for Ben Reno, the guy who's putting this camp on. A loud guffaw erupts from the far sofa. I see an unkempt head of woolly brown hair. This is rich, said Bernard Nagel. Obviously, if Dash and Rainier defected from Cronin, Dash's well-known lieutenant would follow. Looking around, I also recognize two other riders, Dutch brothers Joris and Dietrich Peters, who are domestiques on the Cronin team. Domestiques are the workhorses in cycling who exhaust themselves hauling around food and drink, bucking the wind and pulling along the lead rider so that they can spare their energy for the win. You do race, don't you? Dash asked me. How's your technical riding? Just okay, I reply honestly. I take it easy on the descents and don't enter the crits. I like to avoid the criteriums myself, said Dash. They're fast, vicious races held on short, circular courses in which half the field sometimes goes down in a bloody heap. What are your biggest wins? Mostly hill climbs. Mount Lemmon, Durango, Los Alamos. I'm still in high school and, you are just boy, exclaims Rainier Loren, shaking his head. He speaks perfect English, but with a French accent. The ends of Bernard's mouth slide up to enclose his bulbous snaws. I love it. It just gets better. Dash holds up his palm. Hold it. Henri Corret won the Tour de France at the age of 19. Oh, oui, in 1904, says Renier with a chuckle. At 20, Peter Sagan won 2 stages of Paris-Nice and 2 stages of the Tour of California, argues Dash. This, pointing at me, Bernard laughs harder. This is not Peter Sagan. I feel my face burn, the road rash on my cheeks stinging. Bernard is known as a colorful character. Before a TV camera, he often makes off-the-cuff, inappropriate comments, which he has to retract later. I shouldn't take him personally, but already I don't like the guy. What did you place in the U.S. Amateur Nationals? Townsend asked. I shrug. I've never entered. I mostly study and work. Where'd you get the legs? Asked Dash. Arizona Cycling Tours offers trips all over the western states. This past summer, riding was a big part of my job, but it was just, you know, guiding tours. Dash grins. You're a very talented rider. Wow, thanks. How is anyone, especially Jay, going to believe Dash told me this? Dash sits up in his chair, rubbing his chin. I could use a guy like you to lead me up a couple of climbs in the Tour of California. But one who is not so young, says Rainier. And we've got Salvatore Netti, interjects Bernard. You've got Sal, I exclaim. The Italian climber often wins King of the Mountains in European stage races. We're working on it, said Townsend. And you've got me, Bernard says to the ceiling. He sits up facing Dash. And you're favored to win. Favored, said Dash. But you know Tamir Laptev won last year, and he's returning to reclaim his title. I've also have to contend with Fernando Iglesias, the Vuelta a España champ, and there's Klaus. At the mention of Klaus Grunwald, the room gets real quiet. And that other guy, Bernard says finally. Right, said Dash, grinning, the one we haven't even thought of. Townsend peers into his BlackBerry. Dash rises from his chair to hook the straps of his bib shorts over his shoulders. I'm slow to realize they're done with me. I make a show of checking my watch. Gotta get things set up for this afternoon. It's great to meet you, I say to Dash. I'll be rooting for you in a tour of California. What's the name of your new team? We haven't settled on a sponsor yet, blurts Townsend. We've got a number of good prospects, even some here in Phoenix. Good luck with that. We won't need luck, Townsend says pointedly. We've got Dash Shipley. Of course, I say, backing out of the room. No sponsor, no team. Everyone knows that. So I almost got offered a contract on a pro cycling team, if there actually was a team, if I were actually someone else. I always try to get in a few extra miles any way I can. Riding into Tempe this morning seemed like a much better idea than it does now when I'm wiped out. It's dark and rush hour, but I've got flashing micro lights, and I'm used to commuting in traffic. I shift down to a low gear to spin out the lactic acid in my muscles. I've got lots to mull over. Anyone who watched the Tour de France last summer knows Dash Shipley got shafted by his own team, Cronin. It's true that riders on a team must work together to help their leader win, but it's possible for the loyalty to shift if another teammate gets the advantage. Climbing up the Col d'Izard, a desolate scorcher in the Alps, Dash was pedaling smooth, while Klaus Grunwald haltered at the base of every turn of the crank, pedaling squares. The Cronin team manager demanded that Dash wait for the German, telling him he was only 3 minutes behind, when it was more like six. As the tour progressed, Klaus faded as Dash grew stronger. By the beginning of the third week, Klaus abandoned with gastroenteritis, while Dash went on to victory. Even then, Cronin played down their new tour champ and stated to the media that ailing Klaus Grunwald would be back with a vengeance next year. It's a scenario that has been repeated several times in tour history. When one team has two stars, like Bernard Hinault and Greg LeMond on the French team, Lavie-Clair in the 1980s, or Alberto Contador and Lance Armstrong on Astana in 2009, there's bitterness and eventual split. Dash was justified in leaving Cronin, but it seems like he didn't look before he leaped. He's really popular with American cycling fans, but I guess not corporate America. It's damned expensive to sponsor a team. I hope Mike Townsend can find Dash and his team backing by the Tour of California. Today was totally bomb, even if I did crash. Dash was impressed with my climbing. I gotta be happy about that. I wish I could go all out in racing, but it means riding 200 or more miles per week, and just as the season gets underway in the spring, I've got AP exams and finals to study for, and every summer I've worked saving for college. My mom once told me, "You'll never make any money riding that bike." But last summer, I proved her wrong. Some weeks, I made more money in tips than salary. Arizona Cycling has excursions in great spots like the Canadian Rockies, the Sierra Nevada, and the Utah Canyonlands. Every week was a new tour, and every day was an amazing biking adventure. Ben drove one support and gear van, while Jay and I were supposed to take turns driving the second sag wagon and cycling with the guests. Early in the summer, Jay, who is an awesome techie and plans to major in mechanical engineering, decided he'd rather drive, repair bicycles, and photograph the guests, while I preferred to ride. Every day on tour, at about 4 o'clock, Ben was eager to sweep the course, scoop up the stragglers into his van, and head for the hotel in time to shower before cocktail hour. I always told them to go on ahead. I'd see the guests in. I didn't mind a bit, riding with the businessman from Ohio who signed up in December, thinking he could lose that extra 30 pounds by June, then riding further back to chat with the elderly couple from Holland, or riding even further back to check on the two hilarious young women from Toronto who somehow thought spin class would prepare them to ride 75 to 100-mile days on the road. After riding 6,558 miles in 3 months, I returned to Phoenix to start my senior year. Sitting at a desk just felt wrong. The teacher's voice would fade, and although I was staring straight at what was projected on the screen, I would see the Grand Tetons. Since then, I've tried to keep the long-distance cycling up, doing one 100-miler per week, but I haven't always found the time. When Ben asked me if I would work the pro cycling training camp over winter break, I jumped at the chance. And today, I met Dash Shipley. I rode with him. How awesome is that? When I turn onto my street, I'm surprised to see Glory's Black Pearl Acura parked in our driveway. She and I are fairly new, only a couple of months. We go to different schools and don't see much of each other, but we're planning to attend the University of Arizona in Tucson together next year. Glory wouldn't just drop by without my being home, which means she's here to visit my sister, the enemy. Meredith is 2 years older and a sophomore at the University of California in Santa Barbara. She wishes I was never born, but when she came home for winter break last week, she and Glory hit it off. Meredith wants to be a doctor, the same as Glory and me, which makes me think that's too many doctors. Not all of us are going to make it. I step into the warm yellow kitchen, and everyone is gathered around the table, having drinks and munchies. Evan, your cheek! Glory touches her hand to her own soft face as if she can feel my pain. She looks into my eyes, and I look into hers. I want to lean over and kiss her, but I'm too grody to go near her. Meredith sniffs the air as if something rotten just entered the room. Oh, no, Evan, Mom exclaims. I knew something like this would happen. She stoops down to inspect my scrapes, peeking through my shredded tights. You need to clean out those abrasions right away. I already did. She pokes her fingers into the tears of the cloth as if she doesn't believe me. How'd the first day of camp go? Dad asks excitedly. Isn't it obvious? Asks Mom. Dad waves his fingers at my legs, indicating that my injuries are superficial. He used to race in college, but when Meredith and I were little, Mom guilt-tripped him into taking a long hiatus from the bike. He's only gotten back into it. My boss, Ben, is one of his cycling buddies, which is how I got the job. Did you get to meet any of the pros? Asks Dad. Mom lays her palm against her chest as the center of her body caves. Lately, she's been having these sudden attacks. I touch her shoulder. You okay, Mom? Her yeah comes out more like a groan. Her hand sweeps down her body to press into her right side. It's an ulcer, I'll bet, said Dad. You work too damn hard, Connie. Stress doesn't help. Meredith glares at me with her dark, judging eyes. Mom's hands moves to her upper back as Glory watches. Maybe it's your gallbladder, she suggests. Mom gives Glory a sharp shake of her head. It's not exactly rude, but it's pretty cold. That old fart Wilkins doesn't know squat, Mom said, Meredith. You should go to a doctor who can figure out what's wrong with you. Mom straightens, her face smooth again. Like other times, the sharp pains have subsided as quickly as they attacked. Dr. Wilkins has already referred me to a gastroenterologist at the hospital. I'll be seeing him in a few weeks. Mom and Dad both work at St. Joseph's Hospital in Phoenix, Mom running the intensive care unit and Dad helping to deliver babies, what he calls playing catch. Mom is one tough cookie. She sometimes drops her head and taps her skull, remarking, "See the scars?" She's referring to her breaking through the glass ceiling, which kept women from advancing in hospital administration. I shower and change, and then we eat. All winter break, Meredith has been crabbing about my music, Dad's clothes, and the way Mom keeps house. But now she acts all bubbly, chatting with Glory about medical internships. Mom and Dad offer suggestions about applications. I'm too beat to try to get a word in, so I just scarf down Dad's awesome tri-tip. Finally, he asks about bike camp, and I get to tell my story about meeting Dash Shipley and being mistaken for a Spanish pro. Amazing! Dad's smile grows nearly too big for his face. He doesn't have much mobility in his neck, but rather than turn his whole body in my direction, he peers out of the corner of his eye at me. You must have been climbing well. It was just that little hill going into Saguaro Lake. Nothing like the tour of California. Can you imagine racing 8 days? Sounds like a sore butt to me, said Meredith. What schools have you applied to, Glory? UCLA, Berkeley, Harvard. Glory's glittering eyes smile into mine. I pretty much settled on UA, though. That's stupid, whoops Meredith. Why pick dumpy Arizona? If you were truly committed, you'd go to a more prestigious university. Evan is going to UA, and he's committed. Under the table, Glory grips my quad. Aren't you? Sure, I say. Meredith sneers. That's real commitment. In my mind, I hide my goat. When Meredith and I fought as little kids, my parents would often side with her, saying, she's older, or she's the girl, which seemed like lame excuses for letting her have her way. Don't let her get your goat, my dad said. I had a little plastic farm set which I hardly played with. I dug it out of the closet, took out the goat, and hid it in my sock drawer. I point my fork in Meredith's direction. Look, when the guys go off for the spring racing in Colorado or California, I'm left behind, studying away. You were on your bike the whole summer, she said. I was getting paid. Nearly every dollar I earned went into my college fund. All you have to show for yourself is student loans, so don't tell me I'm not committed. Glory's hand falls away. Her eyes widen. I realize my voice is raised, and in her family, no one ever speaks above a low, even tone. Yay for Meredith. She got my goat. She succeeded in making me look bad in front of Glory. Glory leaves around 8. After I walk her out to her car, I trudge upstairs to my room. I've got a poster of Dash Shipley wearing the Tour de France winner's yellow jersey with Dash to Donate written in red across the bottom. The year before last, Dash took a season off to donate a kidney to his 6-year-old son, Logan. When interviewed about it, he said, "It's human instinct to protect our young. Any father would do what I did to save his child's life." I believe this is true. I know my parents would do the same for Meredith and me, and yet Dash racing with only one kidney seems heroic. The less he made of it, the more the media broadcasted it. He organized his foundation, Dash to Donate, to increase organ donor designations on driver's license and enrollment in the Bone Marrow Registry. All of this makes him one of the most popular American pros, but when he tried to return to racing last year, no one believed he could make a comeback. He had a hard time finding a team until Cronin picked him up. Now, it seems, he's out of work again. I resist the urge to fall into bed and get out my foam roller. It's an 18-inch cylinder, which I use daily as a sort of poor man's massage. I need to roll out the spent tissue in my muscles to get the blood flowing, then stretch so I won't be stiff when I get up tomorrow. I start pushing the roller up and down my calves, quads, and glutes. I'm working my way up my back when I jump up with a sudden urge to Google Alejandro Mendez. I found out he has more King of the Mountain titles than actual wins. I don't actually look anything like him in the face, but our physiques are almost the same. I also look up Mike Townsend and find out he is a San Diego businessman in his mid-40s who sold his sport event staging company to become first a race director and now a team manager. In a Business Week article, he is pictured with longtime friend Dashiell Shipley. After I finish rolling and stretching, I lie in bed wide awake. Crap, I need to sleep, but my thoughts are running a mile a minute. I loved what went on today. The tight, fast peloton, the entourage of support vehicles, the sleek, high-tech bicycles that the Euro TV commentators call machines. I want to be a part of pro cycling, but how? Maybe I can be a team doctor, or if I don't make MD, I can be a sport therapist. Who am I kidding? I want to be a rider. I gotta get to sleep. Big day at bike camp again tomorrow. Another chance to ride with Dash Shipley.
That was Janet Nichols Lynch reading Racing California. It's Evan's story. He's a young man who's a real bicycle enthusiast, the type that thinks nothing of going on 100-mile jaunts or racing up and down steep hills. He and his buddy Jay seem to be almost hypnotized by the prowess and glamour of international bicycle racing events like the Tour de France or the Tour of California. When we first meet Evan, he's drafting one of the grand champions of bicycle racing, Dash Shipley, up a very steep hill and then, for a short time, actually passing Shipley. Of course, Shipley returns the favor, and soon a whole group of riders catch up with them. At one point, Evan gets too close to the bike in front of him and crashes along with many other racers. But his bicycle adventures leave him conflicted. He had always wanted to be a doctor, had already made plans on going to the university to study medicine. But still, had he not just demonstrated that he could keep up with Dash Shipley, a world champion racer? So now what should he do? Become a biker or a doctor? Friends, Janet Nichols Lynch has been a long, long time contributor to our program, and although she was born in Sacramento, she currently lives and teaches high school in Visalia. And you know, she's quite a bicycle rider herself. While in college, she raced with the Sacramento Wheelmen, one time even rode her bike from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to Washington, D.C. Recently, she did an 8-day tour through the Italian Riviera. And as far as writing is concerned, Janet's 9th book, Racing California, will be published by Holiday House this year. Other novels include Peace is a 4-letter word, Chest Pains, Addicted to Her, and Messed Up, which was awarded the 2009 American Library Association Quick Pick Award. Thank you for such an intriguing story tonight, Janet. We hope you'll have another one for us for next year. And so we come to the close of another edition of Valley Writers Read. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear tonight's or any other Valley Writers Read story again, just go online at kvpr.org and link up with archived audio. Next week, two authors, Joe Hemphill and Bill McDougall. In the meantime, this is your host, Franz Weinschenk, wishing you and yours a great life story until we meet again. Good night.
Valley Writers Read is a production of Valley Public Radio, produced by Don Weaver and Franz Weinschenk. Please join us again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. for another edition of Valley Writers Read.